It's dangerous to go alone. Here, take this video on how to hire help. Hello, I'm Tobias Arliss, and welcome to the Game Dev Show. Today we're going to talk about how to hire help. Now I'm going to give kind of a high-level overview and some general advice you would take when hiring people, because as you'll see as I talk about the various points, a lot of the specifics really get down to your personal situation and also the exact laws in your area. But there are some general principles and ideas that I'm going to share with you that you might find helpful in your efforts to hire somebody else to help you with your game. First off, should you be hiring a person at all? Now, I know this is a video about hiring help. You might think that you're past that point, but there's kind of a difference between hiring a person and partnering with a person. You know, if you have a business partner, they're investing with you in the business. You're going to go in together, and they're an equal owner or maybe an unequal. They own a percentage of that business versus I'm the person in charge of this business. I'm the person in charge of this company, and I'm going to hire you to help me with this project or projects. So you have to think about, okay, when you're talking about a person, if they're going to hire them or partner with them, you know, how long are they going to work on the project? Are they core to this project or going to be with it for life? Or do you just need some assets for them once, and then when their work is done, they're gone, they can go off and do whatever, and then it's all you afterwards. Do you want to come back to them if there's more content, or do you want to be able to hire anyone else that you see fit to be able to do those assets or have the lowest bid? And what risk are they taking by joining with you versus the risk that you're taking? So you might be taking all the business risk, putting in the investment, making the time, making this game, and they might be taking zero risk at all, where they're saying, hey, I'm going to work for X hours and get paid Y dollars. There's no risk of that part. They work, and then you have to pay them, and there's a legal agreement that says that, versus they're going into business with you, they're taking the same risk where they're investing their time for the hope of, but not guarantee of, a return. Now, all of these factors aren't necessarily binary, oh, if they lean one way, then you have to partner versus hire. They're just all something that you can consider. You can hire somebody for the long term, a continual partner that you're going to constantly work with, and still hire them rather than partner with them. And you're still taking on that legal burden and risk, and this is your company and your venture, and they're just being hired out for whatever reasons that you're hiring them for. Which leads me into, how do you pay them? Because again, it could just be someone works and then you have to pay them a certain amount. But since this is contract law, you can pretty much pay them however you agree, with an asterisk for legal reasons, which I'll get into later. But you could pay them based on a percentage of how much profit you earn from the company or the game or whatever project you're working on. You could pay them in the percentage of the intellectual property rights. And that could lead to some interesting discussions and what ownership goes from there and what that might be worth and how that might share with the profit. You could pay them, you know, by the hour, by the asset, your overall fee of, okay, you're going to work for X dollars on this project. And it's completely up to you on what combinations of these works out. It's actually, I've seen where you say, okay, I'm going to pay by the hour, or I'm going to owe you this much, but then I'm going to pay you based on the profits we get. So kind of a hybrid model of the two. So once you figure out how you're going to pay them, then you got to estimate how much is this going to cost. You got to set a timeline. Okay, what work are you going to get done? What time period is going to get done? Because you can't just say, oh, you are the person I'm going to pay, I'm going to work with you, and then they take a year to get back to you at their work. I've seen some kind of nightmare scenarios where you have a contract in place and this is the person, you can't go get somebody else because you're going to have to owe them, but they don't hold their side of bargain when it comes to the timeline. And likewise, they want to have those timelines in the contract because they don't want you to take 2 years to pay them if they're expecting that you're going to pay 2 weeks after the assets are delivered. So make sure you have a really solid understanding about who's going to get paid when, what kind of installment plans, if any, if it's going to be all at once. As I said, also, you could have it based on profits where they might get one amount of money now, but then they get a percentage up to a certain amount later, you know, up until X many thousand dollars is met, then you get X percentage of profit. again, it's kind of up to you on how to pay them. There's a lot of different options out there. I'll go more into some of the common methods later on in this talk. But you also need to factor in revisions, because oftentimes when you hire someone to work for you, whether it's artist, audio person, programmer, it's not going to be perfect right away. It might be kind of in the ballpark. It might meet technical spec. There might be a bug that is introduced. It might be a new feature that you decide you really need to have. But you're probably going to want to do some kind of revision on whatever you're going to hire them to do. So is that built into the contract? Is that something where it's going to take an extra fee? This is stuff that needs to be discussed ahead of time, that you know what you're getting into, what you're paying for, and what you're going to get out of it. And you should also value whoever you're hiring's time. Like, don't just try to go for the least amount of cost possible and say, aha, I can get unlimited revisions, so I'm going to have you work 10x the amount of work by saying, oh, I want to try it a little bit to the left, a little bit to the right. Know that they're a professional, probably, and they want to have time for their other projects, and they only have so much to devote for you, and you're only paying them so much of their time. You know, be mindful of that when you think, okay, how much back and forth am I going to need? Do I really know exactly what I want ahead of time, where, you know, I can tell that to them and get it right the first time, versus say, oh, make it this way. Oh, I've decided I want it completely different now that I've seen you do all that work, and now throw that all away. Now getting into contracts. Absolutely, number one thing, if you haven't already gotten it by this point in the video, you need to have a contract in writing. Now, I know contracts can sound scary for the non-lawyers out there. I'm certainly not a lawyer, but anytime you're going into business with someone, and make no mistake, if you're working with someone on a game project, you're going into business with somebody. You need to have written contracts that state all of the above what I just said, and even more that we're going to talk about. You need to know who owns what, and when, not just what I get this asset delivered to me, but who owns the intellectual property for that asset? Who owns the copyright for that asset? You know, if it's not explicit, and again, I'll talk about this in legal stuff, if it's not explicit on who owns what and who's transferring what ownership, you might be in a really bad situation where they end up owning your game that you didn't intend to, or even they didn't understand or intend to. And again, who owes what? And it might have special clauses in your contract you want to add. Do you want them to sign a non-disclosure agreement, or NDA, so they don't talk about the project while it's in development to other people? Do you want to sign a non-compete clause, where maybe they're going to work for you a long time and you don't want them to work elsewhere? Most cases, they're indie game development, it's probably not necessary. But again, I don't want to be prescriptive in this video, because every situation is different and you need to talk to a lawyer and figure out what's going to work for you when you actually hire somebody and what's appropriate for your project. And I guess that leads me into legal stuff. You have to talk to a lawyer. And I know that you want to click on this video and you're a few minutes in at this point and you're thinking, man, Tobias, these are all points that I generally knew. Tell me the stuff I need to know. Tell me these, you know, exact descriptions. Go here, do that, do that. And I just can't be that prescriptive, because the situation varies so much. I live in California, in the United States, in Santa Clara County. And that has different rules than San Francisco County next door. Like, my rules in Santa Clara County are different if I'm in the city of Sunnyvale versus the city of San Jose. Every jurisdiction has laws on the books that could be relevant for you as a game developer in hiring, and you need to be mindful of that. Sometimes it's a matter of IP ownership. If you pay somebody to work for you, do you automatically get the rights to the IP that you paid them to make, or do they retain those rights unless they explicitly sign them over in a contract? That depends on your laws and jurisdiction, and I talk from a very U.S.-centric point of view of these laws, because that's what I personally know, but you need to consult with a lawyer and figure out what is relevant for you. There might be a minimum wage requirement. You know, you need to pay X dollars per hour. If you're paying less than that, you might be violating some rules. There might also be some benefits where if they work for you for more than X hours or exclusively or some other requirements, now you're getting taxed for having a full-time employee. And you might be, at the end of tax time, hit with thousands of dollars of a bill that you weren't expecting to pay. Or you were required to provide them with a certain benefit or health benefits or whatever other thing you may have not, now you're getting fines for not doing that, and you have to pay that. You just have to be aware of that before you go into business with somebody. Talk to a lawyer. Bottom line, you can turn this video off and say, look, I just got to talk to a lawyer. Now, don't turn the video off yet. I'm trying to give you guys some good general advice, but the one thing you should have as a takeaway is your local laws will vary. So that part out of the way, kind of the hard questions that most people want to ask about when they're hiring help, let's talk about where you find people, because that's probably the second most thing that people want to know. You can get people from all sorts of places. Personally, I find it's best if you want to hire amateurs, people who are students, people who are just getting into the field, people who do this as a part-time hobby, it's great to go to meetup groups, go to colleges, go online in forums. There's a lot of people who want to do game development and are interested in working with people on projects that they find passionate and are interested in, and they're available to be hired. I would highly recommend exploring that option for sure. But if you want to hire someone who's more professional, someone who does this every day, they are paid constantly, this is their bread and butter, they make stuff, you know, they can be good to work with, they can usually be quicker in a lot of cases, usually more costly. There are a lot of options to hire, not just you directly hiring with a contract. This is where a middleman can come in. There are services like Freelancer, Fiverr, and Upwork that you can go to their websites and find people and hire them through that service. So they'll actually deal with a lot of the legal ramifications for you and a lot of the contracts and assuring that they're up to date with their local tax laws, and you just pay one of those companies the money and then you get the goods through them. It can be a lot less hassle. Now, they'll sometimes take a cut, but it could be worth it for your situation to go through that. And they're also just a great place to find somebody. You, of course, could also go on the standard job boards, Craigslist, Monster, whatever. But often there, you're going to be finding people looking for full-time employment, less so part-time, and you're kind of rolling out your own a bit more with contract law. And, you know, if you know what you're doing, go on there, find people, sure. But most of the time, for the context of game developers and indie game developers, we're more short-term contract work. So one of these options will tend to work better for you. Now let's talk about how to actually be a good boss slash client, someone that people want to work for. Because it's one thing to talk to you, the developer who wants to hire somebody, but you kind of need to be someone that people want to work for. You know, there's a lot of talent out there, and why should they work on your project? And you can't just say, well, I'll pay them, because there are multiple people out there that'll pay and pay at different amounts, and no amount of money is worth working with a bad boss or client. So think about things ahead of time. Figure out, what do you expect this person to do exactly? Get it down in writing. The quality, the end product, you have to be able to really describe on paper exactly what you want. Don't say, I'll know it when I see it. Don't just assume that they'll figure it out. Know the specs, and you have to know what field they're hiring. For instance, if you're hiring an artist, you have to know a little bit about what they produce technically to give them an idea. For instance, the scale of a 3D model that you want to commission. If you don't know that, they're just going to pick some random number, and it might not necessarily mesh with your game. So get everything very, very clearly in technical detail down ahead of time in writing. Know what you want. And then when you actually find someone through one of those services I mentioned, through a college, don't just say, this is the person, you're hired. Do a test job. Figure out a small portion of your game that you can have somebody work on, and hire several people to work on that small portion. Have a spec. Say, here, I want this. I want you to work, you know, a couple hours on it, or, you know, pay per asset, however you want to figure that part out. And worst case, you might throw away $20 to $100 on a small test project with someone who doesn't work out well. But what's good about this, if you do that to a few people, you can see, okay, this person got back to me right away. This person asked clarifying questions when they were confused. This person didn't make assumptions about the technical requirements. They made sure that their work was good. This person did revisions, and they did a really good job listening to the feedback and iterated on that. And you can easily find those people by just simply doing a test job and not assuming, oh yeah, they're a professional, they're going to be fine. So find a small job that you can hire for first, And after you've hired a couple different people, it'll be clear to you who you want to continue working with and who you can move forward on the contracts. This is another great point because I may have sounded a little bit too daunting earlier in the video talking about all the contracts and talking to a lawyer. That's when you're committing to a person, you're writing down all the stuff. If you're just doing a test project and you're willing to throw away some money, you should think about IP law, figure out what you're doing the test project for, or you want to be able to end up in the final game. But you don't need to deal with all of that right away. You don't need to start contract negotiations right away. You can just have a simple offer of, hey, here's a very, very simple test job. Think of it as a paid job interview prospect. And people on the other side totally like doing this. They want to know you're a good boss to work with. They want to know that you are giving clear instructions, so you're not going to make unreasonable demands of them. So they love that they can get paid for working with you for a short period of time and seeing if you're good to work with. And if you're both interested, then you can continue that professional relationship. As I mentioned before, as you get working, you want to give good feedback, not just in revisions, but also, hey, I liked this work. I didn't like this work. Hey, you were great to work with. You were not great to work with. Here's what I would have liked to have seen. Because a lot of people, if you don't tell them, they're never going to get better. So if you stop working with someone because they did something that annoyed you, like they emailed you too often, they didn't email you often enough, if you don't express that to them and say, hey, I would have rather have seen this, they'll never get better as a professional, and you might stop working with them when actually if you just told them what you wanted, they could have easily obliged and then have a better relationship with you, and they'll be all the better for it. So definitely think of feedback as you have to give it in all situations, but also receive it. If they come up to you and say, hey, you were a bad client because of these reasons, your requirements weren't clear, it was confusing to work with you, you made unreasonable requests, listen to that feedback and apply it to yourself and be a better boss for the next person that you hire, or them, if you continue that relationship. It's got to be a two-way street. All right, so that's kind of a summary of how you can hire people. I know that was really, really vague general advice, and I went through it really quick, but as I said, you have to go figure out what works for you locally. So where do you can go and find people that will help? Well, number one, talk to a lawyer in the area. Now, my personal experience of lawyers is that a good lawyer should be able to answer your phone call and you say, hey, I'm looking for a lawyer because I'm a game developer. I want to hire this person. I want a contract that does something along the lines of pays them based on a percentage of profit. They'll tell you a general idea of I'm the right lawyer for you, or if not, here's a lawyer friend of mine that will be. And they'll also tell you a general idea of here's my hourly rate and it'll take me about this many hours to work on this. And so you should know ahead of time approximately how much that lawyer is going to cost. If you go into a situation with a lawyer where you have to pay money before you're even 100% sure they're the right lawyer for you, stop that right away. Any good lawyer will talk to you first on the phone. Now, don't exploit that. Don't say, I'm going to get an hour or two of free service by asking all of these weird questions on the phone and wasting their time. Their time is valuable. They're a professional. You're hiring them just like you would hire one of these other contractors I'm talking about. But a good one will let you know if they're right for you and what their cost is going to be ahead of time, so you know what you're getting into. The next thing you can do is just read up and study the information. The internet is a fantastic resource for all sorts of laws. And now this actually involves studying law. Now, that might sound scary, but you as a game developer, especially an independent game developer, you kind of have to branch yourself away from just software engineering, just art, or just whatever you're doing. You have to go into marketing, you have to run a business, and you have to think about laws. And that actually means getting into it and reading some of the laws. Now, yes, you should find other people that can help answer your questions and learn stuff, but that you should never, in any circumstance, sign something that you don't understand. You may not fully understand how they came to this contract and a lawyer gave you this agreement and there's a bunch of random points on it, but you should be able to look at each paragraph of that agreement and have an idea of, oh, this is here for this reason. This is here because it transfers IP law. This is here to protect us in case one of us dies during the production of the game. You need to know what each clause is and why it's there. get the nitty-gritty wording, you can leave that to the lawyer, but don't sign anything that has clauses that you're not quite sure what they mean or why they exist. Any good lawyer will be able to answer your question. Any good contractor who comes to you with a contract will be able to answer that question, or can find someone to answer that question for you, or the internet can tell you the answer to that question. And if you're signing something you don't know what it is, you might be signing away your IP rights to your game. You might be doing all sorts of stuff that is not appropriate for what you want for your project. So general life advice, don't sign anything that you don't fully understand. And I believe in you. You can understand contract law. You can read a contract and it makes sense to you on what it means and what it's doing. Lastly, ask questions. There's probably, no matter where you are in the world, a business owner in your area who's had to deal with the same things. Maybe they're not a game developer. Maybe there's no other game developers where you are. But there's somebody who runs a business that hires people. Go up and ask them. Go to your favorite restaurant and talk to the local owner about business taxes in the area. Talk about their personal experience. You know, you shouldn't trust what they say as gospel if they're not a professional, but they can help point you in the right direction. They can give you an idea of possible fees that they might have had to deal with, or you know, mistakes that they might have had in their businesses. There's a lot of game developers out there who are very much open books in helping other people and be happy to meet with you over lunch, especially if you offer to buy them lunch and pick their brain about their exact process. And they can tell you, oh yeah, I did X, Y, Z. I ran into this problem. I regretted that I didn't think of that ahead of time. Do a little bit of research and talk to people in similar experiences and you'll be all the better for it. Well, that's the quick talk. Hopefully that's given you some idea of how to actually hire someone to work on your game. I know, again, as I said, it was a really high level overview. If you have more questions, I'd be happy to have you ask me. You can email me, or you can send me a tweet, or you can go to my blog where I write about stuff like this. I won't be able to answer every legal question, but I'd be happy to help out as much as I can. I also have a podcast called Be Indie Now that you can listen to and hear me interview various game developers, and a lot of them do talk about this legal side of the equation and the kind of contracts and situations that come in that are not necessarily ideal and how they deal with it and maybe how you can avoid it. So again, hope that you enjoyed it, and I'll see you next time.